All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. It's Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in now, any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Today in history, Kelly Clarkson wins the first American Idol. So we'll talk about that and some of the best and worst reality shows of all time and much more here on 720 WGN. So... by the way, you know what we didn't, I don't know if we asked, Tom, if, when She's Crafty was in, we didn't ask him if they played that song, considering that's an instrumental.
Oh, Groove Holmes?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I have a feeling that they probably dip into a little bit of the instrumentals.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine so. But I was just thinking to myself, first thing that popped in my head when it came on was, I wonder if She's Crafty plays. She's Crafty, by the way, is the all-female, Beastie Boys tribute band.
Amazing tribute band.
And they're awesome. But I wasn't sure if they played that one or not.
Next time they come around, I'll be like, all right, do you guys do the instrumentals?
Right, exactly. All right, well, anyway, welcome back, everybody. We're here, and we want to tell you about this company called Soft Cage Films, and they're providing classes now. There's an introduction to filmmaking class from script to screen. It's a children's film class, and it's for 8 through 11-year-olds, grades 3 through 5. And the location is at Hairpin Arts Center, which is on Milwaukee Avenue. And we'll tell you all about the details on it. We also want to tell you about this really cool company. And let me welcome to the show, into the studio here, David Holcomb. Hi, David.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
And Adam Blaskowitz, right?
Correct.
Okay. See, I got it right. Yeah. So welcome, you guys. I understand that you have been on my producer Tom's podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we were one of the earliest guests, and we've tried to be regulars. We love it.
Yeah, he's great, man. So tell us about, well, first of all, tell us about yourself, David. You're a filmmaker.
Yeah, I'm a filmmaker. I edit, direct, produce, write, pretty much everything.
Yeah.
So we've been working together for about, Adam and I, for about 10 years, and then we formed this company in 2012.
How did you guys meet?
Actually,
through a mutual friend?
Yeah,
right?
Mutual friend, I think karaoke. It was the first time
karaoke.
I actually met Dave. But
and
I
we
didn't...
both hate karaoke, so we bonded immediately.
Yeah. But then I was working on, that same friend invited me to PA on one of David's shorts, Death of a Cyber Salesman. So that's
Death of a Cyber Salesman.
Yeah,
it's a great little film about this this like workaday salesman that's he's trying to solicit male enhancement pills over the internet.
All right, so you started out working on that, and then you guys just bonded and became friends.
Yeah.
All right. So, what's your David? Where are you from? What's your background?
I'm from Atlanta. I actually went to college in Madison, Wisconsin, and I was an actor there, and everyone seemed to be coming to Chicago, and that seemed to be where everything was happening, so I moved here right after graduation and never looked back.
I understand that you actually you work with Trapdoor Theater.
Yeah, that was the first, I feel like, my artistic home when I first got to Chicago. They embraced me. Beata Pilch, who's run that theater company for 25 years. Yep. She took me under her wing, and she's my mentor and taught me everything I know. So
I was in storefront theater for a long time.
Cool.
And I know the people at Trapdoor. I was AD at the Factory Theater for many years.
Yeah.
And I was with them for about 14, 15 years. And they're still going strong. They're
in
rehearsals
for
a new show.
Were you there for the transition to the new space?
I was not. By that point, I was...
Pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I've seen the space. I had left the company by then because I had gotten this gig. And it's hard to do theater when you work five overnights a week.
Yeah.
You know that because you got to rehearse six nights a week, and you know, and tech week would be a real pain in the ass if I had to come here at 1 o'clock
it's
in the
rough.
Morning. So, but anyway, so yeah, the theater company in Chicago was amazing. We've talked about it a lot. Now, are you part of the theater company too?
I'm not. My wife actually does musical theater. So
oh, she does.
I am familiar.
Yes,
with that world, and obviously we. Yeah, we cast a lot of actors from stage. So,
let's talk about how you got into film, David. You talked about the acting and everything. How did you get into working behind the camera? And you have always been a big film fan?
Yes, always. That, I think, was my biggest goal as an actor, was to end up on screen. But I think I dabbled in filmmaking my whole life. But I think when I decided to make the leap professionally was just as an actor, feeling like I had very little agency in the final product. Whereas in theater, it's like you're up there and we're the storytellers as actors. But in film, you're at the mercy of so many steps after you do your job.
Yeah.
You have no control over the final product. So,
and you don't know what it's going to look like even.
Yeah, or, you know, I was giving you gold and you cut away from it for certain reasons bad instincts as an editor or whatever it is. A lot of things can go wrong. So I just felt like if I wanted to see the kinds of films I wanted to see, I needed to start making them or empowering people to make those kinds of films.
Okay, cool. Adam, what about you? Are you a background big film fan?
Yeah, for sure. I went to film school, Columbia. And I was kind of focused more on documentary films.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, my background's also in photography. That's my primary source of income.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've done a lot of camera work and some sound work.
Yeah. So do you guys each have like a, was there a film when you were younger that was like transformative? Everybody, I think, who deeply loves movies like a lot of us do, there's at least one or two movies, of course, you know, maybe the one you saw at the youngest age, you know, that really sort of knocked you out. Is there any, can you narrow it down?
What do you think?
For me, Raising Arizona.
Mm.
That's a good one.
I just rewatched it
holds up,
last
right?
week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't Barry Sonnenfeld shoot that? Barry Sonnenfeld shot that, didn't he? Or am I nuts?
I'm going to have to IMDb it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think it was, because I'm almost positive Barry Sonnenfeld shot that. But anyway, that is a crazy movie.
Yeah.
And I remember I had already been like in love with Blood Simple when I saw Raising Arizona. So, yeah. What about you? Do you have anything?
Like I said, I think I always grew up on film, but I didn't realize that filmmaking, I guess, could be like a weird art, like the experimental theater I was into until I saw Eraserhead. And me, that was like, oh, that this can be anything. Yeah. It doesn't have to be like the Hollywood thing.
Did you watch the Twin Peaks reboot?
The reboot?
Yeah.
No.
I did.
Oh, my God.
Not yet.
Man.
It took me over a year to get through it.
Oh, my God. Listen, here's the thing. If you're an Eraserhead,
that's how long it is.
If you're an Eraserhead fan, you need to watch episode 8 of Twin Peaks.
Uh-huh.
Episode 8 is
one of the new reboot.
Yeah.
Cool.
It is, without question, the craziest thing I've ever seen on TV. Like, I mean, like, it. A good portion of it is in black and white.
Uh-huh.
It feels a lot like, it's crazier than Eraserhead.
Oh.
So, I mean, seriously. And, like, on Showtime on a Sunday night at 8.
Right.
And I'm picturing suburban couples going, hey, honey, let's see what's on Showtime.
I've heard great things.
And then they click it on and go, hey, honey, let's cancel Showtime.
Let's talk to the manager.
It is absolutely insane.
Wow.
It's absolutely insane. And I mean, the whole series is great. The reboot is great.
Was that your experience with episode 8, or are you not?
Do you remember episode 8?
You might
not be there
yet.
It's where the bug flies into the girl's mouth, and most of it's in black and white, and it's completely disturbing and weird. I watched it immediately again when it ended.
Wow. Yeah. High praise.
It took me.
Well, you just said it took you a year to get through it.
Well, I came back to it.
Yeah.
Because Dougie, the character Dougie, kind of infuriated me. So but you know, I just hearing like that. It was received a standing ovation when they premiered it.
Yeah.
David Lynch like was crying, and I was just. I had to give it another shot, and I really wanted to see like how it ended.
Yeah, it is. I will say this for people who were just kind of familiar with the ABC run, and that's it, and not Fire Walk With Me or getting deeper into the mythology and the weirdness that Lynch goes to, were probably watching that show and going, "What in God's name is happening?" Because no linear structure at all.
Yeah.
It's great.
I love Fire Walk With Me.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah.
Me too.
I had to go back on that one. That's one of those movies that when I first saw it, I was like, what the hell is going on? And because I was a big fan of the original Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
And I didn't know he was going to go down that lane. You know what I mean? And so I had to go back and go back and watch it again and go, all right, This is where you're going to go with it. I'm with you. I just have to kind of readjust of what I thought of the original TV series on ABC.
Yeah.
Because they kind of pitched the film like, oh, we're just going to like tie up some loose ends.
Uh-huh.
But they created a whole bunch
more. I was going to say, they did. Yeah, they opened up more cans of worms, yeah. man. Yeah. But anyway, I highly recommend that you go back and watch the reboot.
That's all I needed was a good recommendation. I feel like I've been holding off because I expect to hate it because everyone tells me it's terrible. But now I'm ready.
It's 12 hours, though, so... You know,
yeah.
Pace yourself.
Okay.
He took him a year.
There are just certain scenes that just, they go on for so long. But there's some great humor.
I just think it's great. I'm a big fan of it. You mentioned Eraserhead, the transformative movie for me. I was 13 years old and I had already seen a ton of movies. John Carpenter's Halloween.
Okay.
It was the first movie that I ever saw where I realize what a director did.
Uh-huh.
Like I had no clue. I'd seen a million movies, and I actively
he had like such a strong signature. Do you think?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because I realized he was doing things with the camera, and I realized there was editing involved, and it was mind blowing. Yeah, exactly. Something like that. And I remember going out from the theater. I saw it at the State Lake Theater in the Loop with my father back when it opened up. I was 13, and I went outside in front of the theater, and I looked at the poster, and I looked for the director credit.
Yeah.
Just so I could go. Okay, so now I know what that is. So that was the big one for me. All right, okay, you guys hang on, all right? We're going to take a break.
Sounds good.
David and Adam are here from Soft Cage Films. We didn't even get to the company yet, but we will. We'll talk all about that coming up right after we break here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. It's Wednesday. Wildcard Wednesday. Get your request in now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. On this day in history, Kelly Clarkson, it changed the world. Kelly Clarkson won the first American Idol, and our lives were forever changed. So we're going to talk about reality shows and stuff like that. Odd jobs that no longer exist. And much more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Nick D Show. David Holcomb and Adam Glaskowitz are here from Soft Cage Films. They're here to talk about the company and to talk about what they do and to specifically talk about this introduction to filmmaking class that you've got set up for kids between the ages of 8 and 11. But first, let's talk about Soft Cage Films. How did it start? I understand it was founded in 2012.
Yeah, so Adam and I were in the middle of production on our first feature-length horror film called Yellow, and we decided to make a production company, and we didn't know exactly what that meant, but we knew we had certain things on our mind in terms of what we wanted the film scene to look like, how we wanted films to be made, so we made this nonprofit, and... We clarified our vision as we went on. We've brought in outside talent, kind of built sort of a filmmaking family, and we have a lot of really interesting, bold Chicago voices that are involved now.
And you cover everything, right? It's not just narratives. You guys do documentaries,
correct.
All that stuff,
yeah?
So tell me a little bit about some of the work that has been done under the umbrella of Soft Cage.
So we've come out with 5 narrative films, and we've come out with 40-something mini-docs, and then we have a lot of like long-term feature-length documentaries. They're all the documentary stuff is all centered around social justice, or we've got a documentary right now that's been in production for about 5 years in Puerto Rico that just finished with this latest round of protests.
Okay.
That kicked the mayor out.
Yeah.
So that was our ending. So
that's
a huge one.
Yeah. Man.
Can't write an ending like that.
No, you can't.
Diana Quiñones Rivera is the director. She's been working on that film. That's her passion project for the last 5 years. So.
Wow, what a payoff.
Yeah.
Man, you know, that's sometimes that's what happens with docs, man. You stumble upon something, like something happens, like Gimme Shelter. Nobody knew that that the Hells Angels were going to kill people at Altamont when they were just filming a Rolling Stones concert, and then that happened, and they captured it. And so that happens a lot.
Luckily.
Yeah, luckily. But no, that's great. So what's the one that you gave me a copy of, you were kind enough to give me a copy of?
Graffito is our second feature film.
Okay.
So our first feature film was a film that we wanted to make, a Italian giallo-style slasher film, but set it in modern-day Chicago.
Yeah, you had me a giallo.
Yeah. I realized after talking to Tom, we probably should have brought that for you, but Graffito was our sort of French new wave in modern-day Chicago.
All right.
And so we're talking about this street graffiti artist that's struggling to fight against land developers and gentrification, things like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, and you directed this?
Yes.
All right. Very
and
cool.
Sort of shot it on the fly. We had like a 20-page script and did that French new wave thing.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing it in. And how many people work with you guys at Soft Cage approximately?
15 to 20, mm-hmm. somewhere in there, various levels of involvement.
Mm-hmm. And what happens with the films? What do you guys try to do with the films? You guys try to take them on the festival circuit? Do you guys try to do all of that stuff, like to get the films to be seen?
Yeah, so we definitely do the festival circuit. We're also big on kind of curating our own events where we have our film screen alongside other films and live music and discussions and poetry. And
do you have another?
Like
do you have something coming up that you can plug?
We shot a musical last summer, our first musical film, a narrative film, and that's going to be coming out very early next year.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a short film we just shot for the 48-hour film festival.
Oh, sure.
Screening at Music Box in September, and then we'll do a festival run with that, too.
We do I have Jerry in all the time.
Cool.
Every year I have him in to talk about that.
They're a blast, man.
It's crazy. You know, we've had the winners come in into the studio and talk about it. I just can't believe that it gets done that quickly.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine the lack of sleep.
And it's normally such a long process that it's really gratifying to get through a weekend and then you have a film.
Yeah, that's and on cool. top of that, you got that challenge of having that line of dialogue and that prop and whatever. You guys don't even know what genre you're going to get. You have to pull a genre out of a hat.
Yeah.
I love Jerry. I think Jerry's a great guy, and I really I think it's a great organization.
We got sci-fi this year, so.
You got sci-fi?
We're really excited.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. All right. So when do you guys shoot? It's over the course of one weekend when you guys
That was last weekend?
You guys filmed last weekend?
Yeah. Was it 2 weekends ago?
It was a week or two ago.
A week or two ago. Okay. And it's done.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's done.
Very
it's
cool.
Done.
All right. All right. Well, great, man. Okay, so let's talk about this class. Introduction to Filmmaking, it's from Script to Screen, Children's Film Class, and it is at the Hairpin Arts Center at 2810 North Milwaukee. It's an 8-week schedule from October 2nd to November 20th. Tell me about, now, if you've taught children before.
Yeah. So I taught a really cool class, and I'm making some adjustments to that, but I liked this idea of the entire class collaborating on the writing all the way through to editing, and then at the end of the class, they have a film that's done. A really exciting new development that might not be in our press right now is that this film is going to premiere at the Music Box.
Oh, wow.
We wanted to give them this feeling of, like, this is what it's like to be a real filmmaker going to your own premiere at a legit local theater.
Yeah.
So that's a really exciting thing for
that's
me.
That's really cool,
yeah.
Man. That's really, really cool. Man, the people at the Music Box just do a bang-up job.
Yeah.
Man. They really do.
Yeah.
That's really great. Now, so how many kids in the class, ultimately? I mean, what are you looking at limit-wise?
I think about 10 is the right number.
That sounds...
Before it turns into chaos.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it is after school, so I know the kids are going to be a little bit, you know...
Yeah.
They don't want to sit, right?
Class time, 4:30 to 6.
Yeah, short and sweet.
4:30 to 6. And it's October 2nd through November 20th. And if people want to register their kids or if they want to get involved, how can they do that?
Go to Hairpin Arts Center's website or softcagefilms.com. There's a form to fill out. Just submit some simple information. We'll follow up with the curriculum.
And now, how long have you been teaching?
Only about a year or so, but I got really interested in it because we've worked with a lot of kids on our films recently, mm-hmm. Which was something in the past that I was terrified of. But I had some really great experiences, and now I'm like all in on these kids.
Yeah. Adam, how long have you been teaching?
This is my my first
your first
teaching
your first
role.
Your
yeah.
first foray.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Are you excited about it?
I am. I am really excited about it. We've done we had some meetings at Free Spirit Media and kind of seeing like just the impact that can have on, you know, on students and kids, and be able to like tell their own stories and give them the tools they need to kind of like create. So yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's very cool. Very, very cool.
And their ideas are insanely awesome.
I bet. Yeah.
I don't think they're used to adults saying, yes, that's a great idea. Let's go with that.
Yeah. Because, no, I mean, it, you know, when you're between the ages of 8 and 11, your brain goes, you know, to places where an 8 to 11-year-old would go.
Yeah.
And so to have that encouraged, I think, is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So how crazy are the movies that they want to make?
Oh, I mean, they're so sort of surreal, but when we start to shape it, it becomes very brilliant. Like, you think it's all just random and they're, like, messing with you, but then once you start to try to synthesize it, like, the last class I was in, they wanted it to be like, oh, the lead character is this poor cobbler's son, and I'm like, do any of you guys even know what a cobbler is? Like, where do you get this stuff from?
A poor cobbler's son. That's pretty great. That's pretty. It's always fun to see what these kids come up with. Years ago, I dated a girl who co-founded a theater company called Barrel of Monkeys.
Yeah.
Yes, I was gonna mention that.
Yeah. I dated Helena for a while and for a couple of years, and was right at the beginning of Barrel of Monkeys at that time. They had just gotten out of Northwestern and they had started the company, and they had just started That's Weird Grandma, like when we were together, and to see. Because what it is they go into classrooms and they teach classes at Chicago Public Schools, and they go in and they do a few, you know, do like a week or two with the kids, have them write stories, and then they put those stories up and they bring in professional actors who have a great background in Chicago theater, and they act out these kids' stories. And I can't tell you the number of times I've you know, seen class, because I used to go to class and hang out and watch and stuff. And seen performances, or seen, you know, That's Weird Grandma, which I believe is still playing at the Neo Futurarium every Monday night. Yeah. My God, it's like 20 years it's been playing. But the number of times I've been so one impressed, and then like two moved, like really deeply moved by what these kids are expressing, and of course performed really great by some very, very funny and very, very talented actors. But where the brain goes sometimes, you know, when you got these little kids. And, you know, a lot of them were Chicago public schools that didn't have any art program or anything like that. And so the voices really varied depending on neighborhood or where you grew up or where they were. And it was just it's really satisfying to see that. And I know that, like, working with these kids, you guys are going to have a blast. And you already do have a blast doing
it. Yeah. I mean, it reminds us how exciting it is that first time someone hands you a camera and you get to, like, shoot your vision.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We kind of take it for granted now because we just have cameras. But
right.
It's right. Very freeing.
Yeah, very cool. All right, why don't we take another quick break, you guys? Hang on a second. David and Adam are here from Soft Cage Films. We'll talk more about Soft Cage Films. And again, introduction to filmmaking from script to screen, a children's film class, which starts on October 2nd at Hairpin Arts Center. You can go to hairpinartscenter.org/classes, or you can go to softcagefilms.com for more info or to get your kid signed up. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back more after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the WGN Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. here on WGN. Lots of other cool stuff coming up on the show. Right now, though, we are talking with David Holcomb and Adam Blaskowitz about Soft Cage Films. It's a nonprofit that was formed back in 2012. Making tons of films, all types, all sizes. You want to talk a little bit more about the mission statement, about the sort of the politics that are involved, the messages that you guys want to get across. It's important to you. So talk a little bit about that too.
Yeah, I think that Adam and I, through our discussions, were just really concerned with the power of film and media in general, and how it's shaping our world, and we wanted to contribute to that using this medium that had a huge impact on us, and to try to make the world a better place, or like envision a better world, or to connect with people. So the mission statement is to produce films that have not only like really bold aesthetics and are pushing the medium using experimental techniques, but also have like a strong social justice message mm-hmm. of some kind. And we can interpret that in a lot of different ways.
That's great. Now, how often do you guys get together? Do you get together to pitch stuff, throw ideas around? How does that work? And the people that are involved with the nonprofit, how do you guys all get together and throw stuff around?
Yeah, I guess films come to us a lot of different ways. Adam's been working on his film that he's been writing, and we're going to sort of help workshop that as a team mm-hmm. and get the script where it needs to be so that we can feel confident moving into production.
Yeah.
And some films are in production. A lot of documentaries come to us, and they need some help finishing, and so we jump on board and help co-produce. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're happy to jump on at any stage as long as it meets our mission and we have the resources.
Yeah, and as a board, we decide kind of what we're going to produce and kind of what our extent or how we're going to kind of allocate the resources. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. So you there was something off the air when we were during the commercial. You wanted to, there was a certain film that you wanted to mention. So let's talk about some of the other stuff that's upcoming.
Yeah. So we have what we call our flagship narrative films. So every year or two, we'll produce our big narrative film, which we put all of our resources into. We shoot over the summer. Last year it was Black Sight the Musical. My producing partner on that, Spence Warren, I'm helping him produce his film next summer called An Adventure of Robin Hood. And we're for real doing a Robin Hood film in modern day Chicago. We're casting Robin Hood as a woman. She's fighting against these sort of M. Fishman type property developers who are taking over the neighborhoods and shoving all the undesirable residents out. Mm-hmm. So she's going to be robbing from the rich to give to the poor.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
Bringing Robin Hood back to her social justice roots.
So where can people see some of these movies?
So Black Sight will be out probably January or February 2020. We just finished the edit, moving into the music right now. Mm. First musical, it was a huge journey.
Oh, I bet.
It's going to be 3 years in the making once it comes out. But it's,
who wrote the music?
So that was a lot of different local bands in Chicago, such as Ono. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Ono. They're a performance art band with like some punk rock roots that mm-hmm. go back to the 70s in Chicago. Some, you know, sort of an a la carte, different composers. Just, we have like a whole bunch of different styles of music in the film, so I wanted to get like the right people. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if there's an overall sort of genius. I can't think of a metaphor for that, but yeah.
So it's a lot of great local bands. There's a lot of, Chicago has one of the most diverse music scenes in the world. So obviously, if you're going to use a ton of bands from Chicago, they're going to be different. They're going to be varied.
Yeah, because we've got hip hop, we've got folk, we've got punk, we've got a show stopping finale that's in the more sort of musical theater realm. So it's kind of all over the place, but mm-hmm. there is a through line.
That's cool, man. Yeah. That's very, very cool.
It's exciting. A true story, too.
It is?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Musical. I can't even imagine making a musical. Been in a couple of them.
Yeah.
Directed one on stage, not a movie.
On stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was what we found making this film was that no one, and we worked with maybe 200 people on the film, like no one had worked on a musical film before.
Yeah.
There's a lot of theater happening, but film is a completely different beast when it comes to music.
Yeah, completely different. And that's evident when you go and see a movie that's based on a Broadway musical or a stage musical.
Right.
Because you're like, wow, you really screwed that up.
Yeah.
You didn't capture what was great
about it. Thinking of a particular...
Yeah, oh, many. I have many. But well, that's great. Now, what about, you brought in a DVD for me. Are DVDs available? Can people go to the website and take a look at some of the movies? Or
soon.
Oh,
we
okay.
are overhauling yes. our website right now.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure people got a chance to get your stuff. You know?
For sure.
City of Lost still on Amazon.
So, yes, our film, our first film, Yellow, the distributor renamed it City of Lust. That's available on Amazon. I think some video on demand services like Comcast. That one's pretty easy to find.
City of Lust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not my choice.
Well, why was it changed?
Well, first of all, they didn't like that the original title, Yellow, starts with a letter of the alphabet that occurs near the end. They wanted it to be bumped up in the search history.
So they got the C.
And they wanted it to be urban and sexy. So, City of Lust.
Okay.
Boom.
Did they change anything else about the movie?
The cover art. No, they didn't change any of the
So there's not a frame of the movie has changed.
Just the
title.
Literal title sequence. That's it.
That's it.
So it's the original vision. Luckily.
So it's still the movie. It's just a different title and different artwork.
Yeah, so okay. I was okay with it.
All right, and people can check that
However,
one.
However, the artwork is a spoiler for the ending of the film, which is a little frustrating.
Oh, man.
I mean, it looks cool, but...
That's a spoiler for the ending of the movie. Wow. Okay.
That's what you got to do to make the big bucks,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That would be like, you know, that would be like the poster for Fight Club having He Is Tyler Durden.
Yeah.
As the
It's actually not terribly far off from that.
Oh, it's not.
It is like this mistaken identity doppelganger situation, and they just kind of threw it up there.
Yeah. Whenever I bring up Fight Club, which is a movie that I love, I had read the book before I saw the movie.
Yeah.
So I always ask people, what was it like? Because I knew he was Tyler Durden the whole time, because I'd read the book. And so, like, when you discover that he's Tyler Durden, I always ask people, what did you guys think when you first saw it? And did you go, what the hell? Did it freak you out?
So that's a film that I literally watched every single day of, like, in senior year of high school. Oh, like, we'd always play hooky and just watch it. So I don't even remember the first time I saw it.
Oh, okay.
Just, like, I've always seen it.
Yeah, okay. And that makes sense. What about you, Adam? Do you remember the first time?
I don't. I mean, I've seen it multiple times. So, yeah, I don't know if it's a shock. I don't have that visceral, like...
Yeah. I was just always... I was always... Because I love the movie. And I also love the book. But... I always, like, envy people for not knowing, because I already went in there and I'm like, all right, I know the big twist. Oh, boy. You know?
Yeah.
It's still a great movie.
I felt like the twist wasn't as earth-shattering as, like, the rest of the film.
Yeah.
And what it was trying to do and the way it was doing it. It wasn't, like, the sixth sense for me where it was like, oh, I have to rethink everything that came before.
It's cool, though, if you go back and watch it repeatedly, which I know both of you have. I love it every time Durden shows up, subliminally, in the movie.
Like, he spliced his own porn into his film.
And it also, for my money, the ending is completely different than the book. Have you guys read the book?
I read it once.
It's completely different. It goes on much longer. There's a whole long hospital sequence in the book at the end, and you realize that it's still happening. Like, there are members of Tyler Durden's army that are now working at the hospital.
Like, he gets committed.
And he's in the hospital because he's all screwed up at the end of the movie. But I can't explain to you how much I love the final shot of that movie.
Yeah.
I can't even explain to you.
With it's the pixies.
It's the destruction of the business world falling down right in front of you. These two people holding hands. The Pixies start playing and a big penis pops up on screen.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is the greatest thing ever.
That checks all of your boxes.
Exactly. All right.
I just heard that the third novel, Fight Club 3, is coming out soon.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll have to check that out. All right. Well, anyway, let's do one more reminder for everybody about Introduction to Filmmaking from Script to Screen. It's a children's film class. Kids between the ages of 8 and 11, grades 3 to 5. It will start on October 2nd. It runs through November 20th on Wednesday afternoons. The final big film screening will be Wednesday, December 4th at 4:30.
At
the Music Box Theater, the beautiful Music Box Theater. And it's hairpinartcenter.org/classes or softcagefilms.com. So, very cool. Hey, it was great to meet you guys.
Thank you for having us.
It was a lot of fun, man. It was really a lot of fun. Good luck with this, and I hope everything goes really, really well. And good luck with the Robin Hood movie.
Appreciate it.
Because it sounds pretty great.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And again, if you guys want more information to learn more about Soft Cage, you can go to softcagefilms.com, softcagefilms.com. They're also on Facebook. That's facebook.com/softcagefilms. All right, David, Adam, thank you guys.
Thank you.
All right, have a great morning. We'll take a break here. The news is coming up next on 720 WGN.